Taylor E. Ross. Hello. I'm a lesbian. My name is Madge Weinstein, and I am doing my first remote podcast after almost 3 weeks of being on the road. Oh, well, I'm a little late. But you know what? I'm a lesbian. And here is my guest, Seven, in Berlin. We are in the land of Berlin. You know that we did... Hello.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
I'm well. You know, we did a show... maybe a couple of months ago. I never played it, though.
What are you talking about, where we talked about becoming German?
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to cover that or not, but I do want this show to be played, so if you don't want to talk about it, then we should...
I think we can talk about it. I'm perfectly prepared to talk about it, so...
I'm perfectly prepared to talk about my vagina.
Well, I want to hear about that.
So you came here in what year?
I came here, to Berlin, May 12th, 2004.
And now you are officially a full-fledged citizen of Germany, and you are no longer an American, even though you were born and raised as an American, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yay! Yeah. That calls for a celebration of sorts. I'm clapping. And I'm wiping that and smelled. Why did you do that? Why did you do it?
Okay, well, part of it comes down to just I'm home. I'm where I belong in Berlin. I think, like, pretty much anybody can see that if they come and see me, you know, I'm here in my element. And the one last thing that I need to do is vote. And that's something you can only do when you're a citizen.
One thing that stuck with me that we talked about last time is you were telling me how you had, you know, obviously been in America for 20-something years, and you had never, I don't remember, you said you never got a physical or you never got to go to the dentist or something like that. And you said, finally in Germany, I moved to Germany, I leave America, and I can actually go to the doctor.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
That's 100% true. I was as a child, we grew up very, very poor, and I mean, the short word is that I grew up very white trash in the middle of a lot of poor people, and couldn't afford to go to the doctor, to the dentist, or anything. So I mean, you just had to live with it. And I mean, if you'd see me in my 20s or something, I mean, my teeth were just all terrible, and you know, I'd never really been to a doctor. I came to Germany. Got my health insurance and got my teeth fixed, and I could get glasses, and I mean, they fixed me up. It was like going to Emerald City or something.
The Emerald City. You know, somebody asked me, a neighbor of mine, because I was telling her I'm coming, and I was mentioning about you, and I said, yeah, my friend renounced his citizenship, became a German citizen. He said, well, why would he do that? And I explained to her, I said, well, you know, here he had been in America his whole life, paying taxes and all this, never even could get health care, never could afford to go to the doctor. Then he moves to Germany, and within months, he can go to the doctor. And I said, why wouldn't he renounce his citizenship?
Oh, that's a perfectly good response. I mean, you know, in my position, it was very clear. It's if I go back to America, and then I have to do, you know, all of this stuff, try to make more than $30,000 a year, which is not easy for somebody who doesn't have a master's degree, especially right now in this market. And then at that point, then maybe you get some sort of health insurance, but then it's really limited anyway. So why? I just work here, pay my taxes, and go to the doctor when I need to.
I would like to get my vagina maybe moisturized. I wish I could get some sweat glands from my armpits transferred to my vagina, and then I could maybe be premenopausal again, because I'm so dry down there. Thoughts?
Do you know for a fact, somebody was telling me about how if you're a transsexual, male to female, you can get your vagina for free.
Which direction?
Male to female. I don't know if they give you a penis from female to male, but in Germany, you can get your free vagina.
Well, I already have a vagina. It just don't work.
You can get another one.
Two vaginas. I can get my asshole turned into vagina.
It's a one for each hand.
And I'd be like you, Fagalus. So, what was it like? Do you have to renounce your citizenship to become a German citizen?
In Germany, yes. You are not allowed to hold two citizenships. Under some circumstances, it's possible, but I didn't fall under that category.
And I believe you explained earlier that the bureaucrats you had to deal with in this process weren't all that used to dealing with Americans giving up their citizenship, right?
No, certainly not. I mean, you know, I come from a first world country, very capitalistic, this under this umbrella idea of democracy. And so they were all looking at my passport like, wow, I've never seen an American passport before. They're usually seeing Eastern Europeans or Africans or Asians or something like that.
You're talking about the German embassy here?
Yes. Or,
well, there's not an embassy, the German government.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And then the Americans, of course, they were just horrified at the American embassy, asking me tons of questions, making me sign 100 papers about, like, are you sure? Are you really sure? You know, if you do this, your children cannot come back and claim. It was really like, we're kicking you out, and there's no way in hell you're ever coming back.
Is that true?
It was really true, actually.
So you can't come back to America, the land of the free and the home of the brave?
I would have to do it just like any other person who's not American. I would have to apply for a visa. I could not work, that's for sure. Although, I wonder if I could sell my Social Security card.
You know, there is a way, I'm pretty sure, that you can transfer your Social Security here. But I'm not sure. I mean, as far as the money you've paid into it. But I actually don't know what I'm talking about.
I think that they would require me to do a lot more of this bureaucratic crap. It's just not worth it as much.
To get your $5.
Right. I mean, what's Social Security for me in like 30 years or something? It's not going to be anything.
So the Americans were not accustomed to dealing with, the American embassy people were not used to this, people coming in and giving up their citizenship or what?
They were not used to it, and they were not, they were, I wouldn't say happy, who is, but they weren't very supportive, that's, or helpful for that matter. I mean, I had to go back a few times, and they, like, each time the woman or the person taking care of me would have to go and talk to their boss to find out, what do we do? Because it's just not done, it doesn't happen.
Why not?
I think that a lot of Americans are really just afraid. There's some sort of connection, like, you know, oh, my family lives in America, this is all I know, or I can always go back to America and make money. And I think it's psychological. A lot of Americans are afraid to take the leap.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see, I mean, I can see it because of family. That makes sense. But I think that's the only thing that makes sense. And even that, I could see where you could work around that by saying, well, come visit me. Because if it's a political statement, it makes an awful lot of sense.
Well, you know, when it comes to the thing with family, I mean, we're in 2010. We have the internet. We have Skype. We have video phones. I mean, you're showing me on the iPhone. You can do it.
Yeah, but you can't have incest through an iPhone.
But you can buy it from Belgium.
Oh, Belgium. Everyone hates Belgium.
But I think the family is really, unless like you really need to live in the same house as your family in order to survive, I think it's kind of a crutch, to be honest.
But isn't your family kind of afraid to come here? I mean, why haven't they visited you in however many years?
Well, because they're too poor and they're too afraid to leave America.
Why?
Because America's good and everybody else is bad.
But where does the fear come from? I don't understand that.
I think, like, the fear is just the unknown. My family is very uneducated people, and uneducated people have a tendency to kind of, I don't know, it's like the running with the herd thing. They cling to the most intelligent person who they think is the loudest, or whatever.
Which is Glenn Beck?
Something like that, or Sarah Palin, or anybody else who says something remotely rude about the rest of the world, and it's just easier to agree with it than it is to be intelligent enough to ask a question.
So do you think, like, I always wonder, like, okay, so here we have America, which has really dumb laws and really offensive things. You can't get married if you're gay, blah, blah, blah. Everything's still illegal and all this. And all the, and nobody wants health care because that's socialism. And then right across the ocean, you have a world that's totally different because they think all those things are fine. And they're still human beings. Do you think the difference comes down to education?
Certainly. I mean, you know, I work in tourism, and I see a lot of Americans that come over here, and they experience the European, how do you want to say, the system for the first time, or the lifestyle and everything. And I think that people come in with a lot of preconceived ideas, that, oh, I'm going to go conquer the Eiffel Tower or the Berlin Wall, and then they leave. And
you're going to climb the Eiffel Tower as if it's Mount Everest or something?
No, who the fuck knows? I mean, people are stupid, and they come here with their dumb ideas about what they want to do in Europe, and they just jump through like all 24 countries in the EU within like 3 months, and they think, okay, I've seen it, I've done it, I understand Europe. But then you get these people who just get stranded and run out of money, and they have to start to survive on their own. And it's more than likely, it's for the first time they ever had to. And they start to talk with people and communicate in bars and little places. And I think that they take it back with them, I think, you know.
Or they get stay here, because you got stranded, you just never left, right?
Yeah. I just kind of ran into being at the right place at the right time was my luck. But it's not easy. I mean, you really have to put in the work. It's you could do it half-assed, but then you're probably going home. That's just the end of that. But I think that when Americans come here and they experience the system, they experience the people, and they realize that it's just not scary. You can go wherever you want. It's Europe. It's been here for, I don't know, 3,000 years. It'll probably be here for another 3,000, and it's because nobody likes each other, but they figure out how to coexist. Whereas in America, nobody likes each other, and they just have guns.
And they're pussies.
They hide behind their guns.
Yeah. What are the downsides? Not the downsides. I have seen a lot of retards.
Yeah,
you know, every time I see somebody limping, I say to them, you know, Hitler wouldn't have liked you.
That's true. He would have gassed them all. Mm-hmm. Or what? There was also some experimental things. I think they like shot them up with chemicals and stuff too.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. The downsides. It's like anything. I mean, the downside here is that you're really you're kind of caged in. Whatever you decide to do, you better decide to do it early, because you can't change your mind later on.
What do you mean you're caged in? Caged in where?
When it comes to like having a job or something, I've found this out myself. I've tried to find a different kind of job, and in Germany, it's particularly hard because with everything you need some sort of papers that say you're. It's called a Fachmann, which is somebody who's registered to know something specific, and then you just do it for the rest of your life. And to make a lateral move is okay, but to change from working as a secretary and then going to become a doctor or a filmmaker is much, much more difficult than it is in America.
Can you get a Fachmann? A different Fachmann?
No, I think I'm too old, actually. I could probably go the really long route and try for an apprenticeship where I don't get paid, but I work a whole lot of hours and I get treated terribly, but then eventually I would get some sort of some sort of paper that would say that I could do something.
Is this like a class thing?
No, it's like work study.
No, but I mean, not class like that. I mean, is the system like a class system, like a way of sort of maintaining class separation, like, you know, higher classes, lower classes, you know?
I think that they had a different evolution. In America, it was always kind of the survival of the fittest and going to the learning and pushing and pushing and pushing. And here, it's more about quality of life, and people just kind of stayed with old programs, and why reinvent the wheel? And, you know, in the meantime, the rest of the world goes forward.
Because the wheel doesn't have a touch screen.
Exactly. So, and I think people just don't think about it. It's just kind of engraved in the psyche. Like, I grow up, I know what I want to do, or if I don't know what I want to do, I stay in school until I figure it out. Either way, by age 30, you better have something understood and, you know, move forward with it.
It's a scary thought.
It is. I mean, it's. I don't want to say that it's impossible, because it's not. I'm clearly doing my thing, and I'm getting somewhere with it. But it's an uphill battle. It's not easy, and it gets much more difficult the older you get.
It's interesting, because I guess that's one thing where it is good in America, because you can always change careers. And since nobody's educated, it doesn't really matter if you're not educated in a particular field, though obviously certain professions. But what about just being like a contractor? I mean, can't you always just be an independent contractor and work for whoever you want to?
Sure, you could if you like, but then you're putting yourself up into the shark tank too, because what about the other 2,000 people who are going through school and doing their apprenticeships that have the papers to prove it? I mean, there is a certain degree of nepotism if you can find it, but then you have to really work at that and fall into the right hands. It's a lot more about luck than it is anything else, because most people think, okay, if you're a filmmaker, you have to think like a filmmaker and you have to do the filmmaker things. You go through school, you learn cinematography, you go through and you figure out editing, and you always work with this kind of camera, and you always, it's very, very boxed in.
What's to stop somebody from going through all those steps later in life, though?
I don't know. I think it's just a societal thing that just didn't change with the ages.
Yeah.
It just never upgraded. Probably it's eventually they will figure out that it's a passé idea and then change these laws, but you have to have people who want them changed. I think most people are just lazy, and they just think, okay, I can't do this anymore, so I just try to find something I can do and live the life I, you know.
Yeah.
We're, as Americans, we're kind of sort of conditioned to fight for everything we want. If we want it, we do it. And I mean, as an American, it's to my advantage, because then, like with the filmmaking thing, I just do it, and I don't care what you think. I just will continue making it, and eventually I will persevere, because I just don't give up.
Well, don't you think, too, like, despite the class systems and whatever factmens or whatever they call them, that because we're in internet land, that if you have some way to make money from PayPal, whether it's donations or selling something or getting a lot of hits on a website, you can live in any environment?
That's 100% true, and I'm finding out that out more every day. The people who are mostly interested in my work are not in Germany. I think, like, now that the whole modeling system is going to become different in the next 50 years, probably we just have to think on a more global level, because the world's full of how many billion people. If you can get through your life 100 out of those billion people to, like, support your work somehow, you're getting somewhere.
Yeah. What about, I would like to change the subject to, since you do manage a youth hostel, I would like to know what you've learned about various nationalities. I mean, let's be fun here. It's fun to stereotype. It doesn't mean you're hateful, so do it.
All right, I can do a lot of stereotyping. I know that, like, the Spanish all have these wonderfully brilliant plastic-colored suitcases that they carry everywhere. Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know Spanish are in the house when you see these suitcases.
Like men, too?
Yeah, definitely. They're just very chic and Euro trash.
Are they expensive, or are they those, like, ugly yellow things?
No, they're really ugly yellow things.
I used to have one.
The Spanish don't have money.
And they wear flip-flops.
The Australians. Australians wear flip-flops no matter what time of year. And they don't know how to use keys.
What?
They don't. And every time I have... In the hostel, we have, like, I mean, in Germany, I guess the keys work in a different direction.
There's no excuse.
I know, that's absolutely no excuse, because there's only two possible directions.
Left and right.
Right. And you would be amazed at how many people come back and say, my key doesn't work. And it's because we give two keys and they always choose the wrong one. And they give up after the first key. People are fucking stupid. It doesn't matter where you come from.
But it's the Australians in particular with the keys, you're saying.
Yeah, the Australians are absolutely the worst when it comes to keys. I don't think they have locks in Australia.
And you were saying, too, I thought earlier today, weren't you saying that you get a lot of mental patients in your place because they get out of the mental hospital and they want something that's institutional, and then they come in and shit on the floor or something like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, last winter wasn't as nearly as bad as the others, but during the winter, you get these people, they come out of the mental hospital, they get their government money, and they're looking for a place that feels safe in their mind, that feels safe. It's not too secluded, it's not too much chaos, that has a common area. They can take care of themselves, and they feel like there's somebody who's watching, making sure everything is okay. And when it's dead in the winter, which it usually is, it's okay. You just let it happen, as long as they're not like scaring people. When they start to scare people is when you have to kick them out.
What is an example of them scaring people?
Scaring people is, oh, I didn't tell you about one girl, really sweet, nice French girl. She seemed a little gothic or something. But
she sang Frère Jacques and all that. Alouette, alouette.
She spoke like this. It was really... yeah, she was really sweet and cute. And then she was in... it was room 2. And a guest came to me at night and said, there's this girl in the room. She's really freaking out. She's having a nightmare and everything. So I go and look. And it's this girl. Her hair is just all over the place. And she's like clawing the wall like... and just like a wild animal, and like she had this look in her eyes, and you just thought maybe she was possessed or something.
What did you do?
I just kind of.
She like, played with her pussy.
I said, "Take it, bitch."
I played with her pussy layups.
No, I just kind of stood there and waited until she was done gnawing on things, and told her, I'm sorry, this isn't working out, you have to go.
Once she was sane, though, better, right? I mean, you didn't just kick her out while she was clawing.
No, I let her finish.
What happened when she was done? Oops, I'm done, sorry.
She calmed down, and she just kind of got like a scared little girl again, and then, you know, I just knew, okay, I make her a tea, and I mean, she was a situation where I knew she wasn't dangerous, she was just scary. So, well, she was actually probably more dangerous than others, but I just knew how to approach her. After so many years, you learn how to diffuse a situation.
What do you think she was scared of?
I have no idea. I think she was like part werewolf or something.
Was this a private room?
No.
So how many people were in there?
6.
My God. That is a mess.
It's one of the funnier ones. I mean, like, when you're a guest and you're coming from America, imagine putting yourself in a position where you're coming from Iowa or something, and you're like seeing this crazy French girl writhing around like she's possessed by the devil. And I go back to my office and I kind of giggle a little bit because it's funny.
Do you think those people go home? The Iowas.
And they go home and they have a story to tell. And wait until they get to Rome. I mean, people are fucking weird there too. It's
What about the Asians?
Oi. Oh, gosh. Okay, now... You know, when I was in America, I didn't make such differentiations between the different types of Asians, like Vietnamese and Japanese and stuff. I was
Koreans.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was just kind of blind and stupid to it, but now I see a difference.
And those are the differences, what?
Well, like the Japanese girls, they like to give you little gifts of food. Every time you do something, they give you these...
Like what, a dried fish?
Sometimes it's something like that. It's like these like soy globby, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a gelatin white opaque gelatin that has like sesame flavor.
Like a dumpling?
Something, but it's much more gushy than that. It's really disgusting. And
I think it's their abortions. Did you see that movie Dumplings?
No.
It's about this Chinese woman, or might have been Japanese, and you have to see this movie, it's fantastic. And she takes actual aborted fetuses and makes dumplings out of it, which the women in China think restore them to youth. Yeah, and it's fucking graphic as hell.
Like fried green tomatoes, but Asian?
Yes. Dumplings. Anyway. So
Jesus Christ, that's disgusting. These Asians make horrible films.
So that was the Japanese. What else?
Well, they feed you little treats, little boxed treats. It's really cute, and I eat them because it's interesting. Mm-hmm. The Chinese people. I had a Chinese girl. She brought her rice cooker with her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she brings a suitcase probably half the size of this table here, and inside of it is a rice cooker, big, fat, giant, like so and so.
Why did she bring a whole goddamn rice cooker?
I guess you just thought that, like, we don't know how to deal with rice here or something. It kind of makes you wonder, like, what Americans think about going outside their country? Like, what do Chinese people think when they go outside theirs? Or
I bring my laptop and my video equipment.
Yeah, I bring porn.
And a pair of panties. One pair of panties.
And a cock ring.
Ugh, don't get me started on those nasty things.
Yeah, so yeah, the Asians are funny.
So what about what about the Koreans?
The Koreans, they're dirty. They just... I'm sorry.
Why? What do they do?
They don't care. They just, like, leave shit out all over the place, and it doesn't even matter.
What kind of shit?
Food... Old food packages, food packages. I don't know. I mean, when you compare them to the Chinese or the Japanese, they're not at all the same. Mm-hmm. But.
And let's see, what other nationalities do we have? Americans?
Americans, God, they're annoying. They're very, very loud, and they all know everything about the world, and it's funny. Like, the worst thing you can do is put everybody in a common room where it's just Americans, Australians, and English. And then put in some vodka and beer in the middle. And give them about 20 to 30 minutes. They're screaming at each other about who's right over what political idea that they're just guessing about anyway.
So they're all... What about the English then?
And the English are just... They're drunks. They're smashed. They're funny drunks, though. I mean, they come here, they think they're going to conquer the world because they've just been doing it for so long. And then, you know, they have to go to bed at 11:30 because they're vomiting all over the place. They've just, like, killed themselves off the cheap alcohol.
I don't understand, for a bunch of people that drink so much, how come they can't handle it?
It's about pacing yourself. I mean, if you're just, like, guzzling it down, like, hardcore, yeah, of course you're going to die and vomit and, you know, a couple of hours.
So they're alcoholics is what you're saying.
Yeah, certainly don't know that, you know, alcohol's not water.
Do you ever go up to them and say, are you halting, hungry, angry, lonely, tired?
I just think, are you lonely? Mm-hmm.
What else? I don't know what else. Let's see. I don't know what else. What else?
You wouldn't talk about dark rooms.
What are dark rooms?
It's something that, like, I never saw so much of in America, but here we have all over the place. I think, in Chicago I saw two.
Okay, so I heard that you went to a dark room yesterday. I don't, because I'm a lesbian. They don't let me in. But I heard that you went to one, and someone interesting came up to you whilst sitting on a couch that was split.
He was an idiot. He came and sat down next to me, and he was just giving me this line about, like, oh, you know, I'm so hard. And I was like, good for you. And then he was asking me, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Neukern. And he's like, no, where are you from originally? And I said, America. And then he goes on, oh, I just love Americans. Americans are wonderful. They have these wonderful penises. I'm like, what?
And then he proceeded to take his out?
He took his out, and it was like, well, okay, yeah, compared to yours, we have really wonderful penises.
What did his penis look like? And what did his face look like?
I couldn't really see his face under that dark red lighting.
He was ugly as hell.
He was, I can only really imagine. He's like, he was from Lichtenberg.
What did penis?
It was nothing to really think about. It was just like, you're not really doing that, are you? Just go and take off. It wasn't very nice.
Yeah.
And he kept trying. I mean, he was, you got to give him an A for effort. He didn't take no for an answer at first. I mean, it, like, he was sitting there for like 10 minutes trying to move his hand over, and I was just like, you know, this isn't working out. It's not going to happen. And, you know, it's like, it's got to be pretty bad, because you know what kind of a whore I am. And he was just not it took a while, but I got rid of him.
Yeah, I can't remember what I was doing at the time. I think I was upstairs discussing politics with the bartender.
Ah, right, right. Well, it was like, we just had like the full moon, so there was a lot to talk about.
Oh, yes, we had our Beltane party. Whatever it's
called. And the equinox.
When is Beltane?
Beltane.
Was it Beltane?
Beltane. Beltane. Is Beltane the equinox?
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know what Beltane is. I know it's some lesbian shit.
I thought it was something you were just making up.
It was. No, it's actually a real thing. Oh. I think it is the spring equinox, actually.
Ah, okay, well, this is the autumn equinox, so it's...
I think we're done. We talked 30 minutes. I'd like to play with my pussy.
Oh, buy my album.
Oh, yeah, go ahead and plug whatever.
Okay, so, like, I'm on iTunes, Nevec Red, NEVECRED. Buy it. Listen to it. Just do it.
What else? Websites? Videos? What you got going on?
Jesus,
come on.
Jesus Christ.
Plug the hell out.
Plug the hell out of it. Unbekannte Sektor Format. Don't even ask me to spell it, but maybe we put a link on this thing. Vimeo, look for me. Seven Knolls. It's just search me and Google me. What, we can do that now. I'm all over the place. So.
Yeah, and you're probably on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook, yes. Come be my friend. I'll tell you everything you want to know.
Just spell your name. Then everything else will be easy.
That would be easy. C-E-V-E-N, Knowles, like Beyonce, K-N-O-W-L-E-S.
Are you related to their crazy, crazy, crazy right now, crazy for now? What do they think? Is Lady Gaga really huge in Berlin?
She's so huge. God, that woman.
Seriously?
She is amazingly huge here.
No way. I know you're lying or I'll kill myself.
I wish I was lying, but it's true. I did a couple of shifts in a bar, and it was really Lady Gaga marathon. Like, she outdid Madonna.
I'm gonna die. Has she come here in a concert?
I think she's been here a couple of times.
Oh, I'm gonna go vomit now. On that note, see you later, everyone. I need something to end with. Ooh, girl. I'll play this, I guess. I am so unprepared. Let's see. No, I don't have... I wish I had my... Let me find my On the Road lesbian song. I have a song. Ooh. Song for just when I'm on the road, except various animals and lovers have changed into the other world. But On the Road. I so like using only a laptop now because I know that everything is on this thing.
What were you using before?
Well, I had a computer at home and a laptop, so my main computer was at home. So usually when I looked for something, it was at home.
Uh-huh.
But now the road is my...
Establishing a big network in your house, or...
What do you mean?
Like a LAN? So that you share everything on one server? And
well, there's really only me, only the one computer now. I got rid of everything else I had to, you know, sell to pay the rent. So, that's right.
Yeah, how's America? Is it getting really terrible?
Getting? Oh, it's horrible. Everybody's broke.
Are we going to bomb it yet?
Good morning. It's day three.
Okay,
it's
only five.
How long it's taking me to get to Miami Beach?
She got one hand on the wheel, another on a Twinkie. Madge Weinstein.
I'm not going to go to Wendy's because they're pro-life. Oh, look, the Florida Citrus Center. I can go get fruit.
On the road with worse than little Chauncey sitting in the back seat. Beef jerky.
Well, look, here's a sign. The result of sin is death, but God forgives. Repent and ask. Why? Because a big sign says so? That's stupid.
Have you ever been on the road with Madge Wines?